Well, I wanted to talk about something else this week, but is there anything we can talk about but coronavirus? Not really. So today we're going to be jumping into coronavirus, just a few quick facts with no fluff, and then we're going to talk about all the business interruption that's happening because of coronavirus, because I'm fascinated by the economic ripple effects that this outbreak and then fear of this outbreak is having. So stay tight while we talk tea, not share tea, or hugs, or handshakes, or sneezes, or coughs. Let's get to it. Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're going to talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. All right. We've got to talk about coronavirus. You know what coronavirus is. I'm like, what is coronavirus? We all know. It's a SARS-type virus, severe acute respiratory syndrome virus. So it causes those respiratory issues. And for those of you that remember the SARS outbreak, that was a 2002 outbreak that also started in China. But I actually looked it up and there hasn't been a diagnosed case since 2004. So if that's any hope, maybe by 2022, we'll be done. Hopefully well before then. I am not a huge medical nerd. My husband is in the medical field. So is my sister-in-law. I was an EMT. Does that count? I'm glad I'm not an EMT now. God, I can't even imagine myself. Somebody would be coughing. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm not transporting you. Like, that's not going to happen. But I loved my EMT training because when it came to DA stuff where I was reading medical records and what have you, there was at least a baseline understanding and it just made it easier to process the information, but not a doctor. The information I'm going to share with you about the disease itself, which is going to be minimal, is all from the World Health Organization. I'm not loving how overblown the news reports are. And that they're so constant, like there's no getting away from it. It's just like watching just the same information over and over and over and over. And I don't love the way news cycles like that. But if it's what everyone's Googling, which apparently it is, if it's what everybody wants to talk about and wants to know about, of course, that's what the news is going to serve. But there's no new information generally, like hour over hour. So that I find frustrating that the news cycle is just pounding it over and over. I've said that enough. We get it. We get it, Emily. So as of this recording, and I'm recording this the week that it goes live because I wanted the information to be as contemporaneous as possible, we have worldwide over 100,000 people infected with coronavirus. From the World Health Organization, they recommend all the same things you do for the flu. Wash your hands, folks. Don't be nasty. Cover your mouth and nose when coughing or sneezing. Avoid close contact with somebody who's sick. I mean, these are the basic things we do to avoid flu spread because this spreads very similarly. It spreads through large particle airborne respiratory droplets. So if you're a parent and your kids ever sneezed in your face, like that, it spreads like that. With skin to skin contact, you know, handshakes, hugs, by saliva. So, you know, if your kid licks your face or if you're making out with somebody who's sick, sharing drinks. So we can spill tea today. We cannot share tea today. And then touching contaminated surfaces. And that's where it lives the longest. Hence the run on like Clorox wipes and all thing bleach and cleaning your house. But if you don't have somebody that's been sick in your house, it's not going to live on surfaces because nobody's brought it in. But when you're out in public, like you can see it now. Everybody's doing the hip bump for the door. I do that anyway. I don't want to touch doorknobs out in public. Like the hip bump, I will use my my kind of forearm to do lever doors. I've done that for a while, especially when traveling, because I don't want to get sick while I'm traveling. Nothing sounds worse than being on the plane not feeling well to me, especially if you get like a head cold and your face is all congested. That is the worst feeling in the world. Also, I have kids. One's in elementary, one's in junior high. They're exposed to so many germs that they bring home. The germ precautions in our household have always been this. I'm just noticing that I am more likely to now use hand sanitizer when I'm like coming home. So Travis and I went to Target to go pick things up and saw the run on all of this stuff. I have never seen it. I should have taken a picture, but I didn't want to be that person who's like, oh my God, look at all, everything's sold out. You've seen pictures of empty shelves, right? Just picture it. That was Target. But shelves and shelves empty of toilet paper, paper towels, Kleenex, hand sanitizer, hand soap, Clorox bleach, Clorox wipes, Lysol products. Everything was gone. And part of me is like, hey, Californians, we should all have water and toilet paper. Earthquakes are real. Like, we should have prepared kits. I imagine if you live somewhere where there's hurricanes, you have kits. You have things for natural disasters, tornadoes, whatever. I'm thinking that people are maybe taking this as an opportunity to evaluate how actually prepared they are. Surprising to me, though, the alcohol's not sold out. I'm like, look, if we're all going to self-quarantine for weeks on end, I don't want to run out of wine. Do you? I mean, that would be terrible. But like, all the bottled water is gone. Even the like bougie water is gone. The LaCroix is gone. The, you know, Waterloo, the Bubbly, all of it, all the sparkling waters are gone too. So the run on product is real. And we're going to talk about that and get into the businesses that are winning and the businesses that are going to see interruption, because supply chain interruption is very real. It might be a delayed effect here in the US. Like, we might not feel it, though the manufacturer are going to feel it. We might not feel it directly for a while, but supply chain disruption is a real thing. And there are things that are made in China that are necessary components of products that we buy here in the US, and those aren't being manufactured right now. One, community spread with this disease, like the flu, when you're in big groups of people and somebody sneezes, it can all get in the air and you can breathe it in if that person's not wearing a mask or sneezing into their elbow or whatever. So they've limited kind of the social contact in China, shut down factories, shut down businesses, quarantined cities, kept people to their homes because they can, if they get sick, they can kind of ride it out at home without spreading it, hopefully, further, because the most impacted country is, well, one of the most impacted countries is China. The other, by the way, most impacted countries, China, Iran, Italy, South Korea, and then Japan. Japan's the only, like, there's levels for CDC risk rate. So the highest risk rate right now is South Korea, China, Iran, and Italy. The next level of risk rate is Japan. And then after that, the risk rate is the US, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, South Africa, Nigeria, Algeria, Egypt, France is a big one. Germany's a big one. The UK, Iceland, Russia, Singapore, Indonesia, India, Australia, New Zealand. So it's fascinating to me how this disease has spread. And I'm sure there are epidemiologists. I believe those are the people that study this. If I'm wrong, please let me know. DM me on Instagram at the Emily D. Baker. The people who are studying how this disease went from China to Australia to New Zealand to the US to Canada to Germany to the UK to Japan, like how it got to the islands. I think some of that was cruise ship and travel related, but so interesting to me how this has spread worldwide and relatively quickly. We'll probably forget that I'm fascinated by the time there are studies out on how this all happened, but I'm fascinated by how that all happened. Either way, there's like 80,000 plus people in China who've been diagnosed with COVID-19, coronavirus. And that is what's shutting down all the factories and doing the quarantine on spot, self-isolate in your house situation, which is interrupting everything from Diet Coke to Apple products. So there is fear of a sucralose shortage, and sucralose is one of the fake sugars used to make Splenda, which is used in like Diet Coke and Minute Maid. And if it's used in Diet Coke, sucralose is used in a whole bunch of diet sodas. So it's not just Diet Coke. Coca-Cola is the only company that's come out and talked about it. But there could be a diet soda shortage. So Shane Dawson, stock up on your Diet Coke and your Diet Root Beer now, because if you get self-quarantined, you're not going to be able to get it. Apple is another affected company that I am very interested in. Y'all know me. If you've been following me on, you know, the YouTubes for any amount of time, you know that every year, because I'm ridiculous, I get a new iPhone. I love iPhone season. Like, September used to be like beginning of school and back to school supplies, and it made me so happy. And now it's like, iPhone season is here. And by the time we get to this time of the year, I'm like, iPhone season's not that far away. But if all the factories in Shenzhen, China are shut down and the, like, I don't want to call them subcontractors, but that's very in my world of dealing with online businesses. But all of the other sub manufacturers that make all of the parts that go into the iPhone, if they're all shut down, there aren't going to be enough components to make the next version of the iPhone. So that would be kicking into production not that far from now. If those all stay shut down, I imagine they're going to have difficulty getting things like lenses for the camera, processors, potentially batteries, components, and then getting them manufactured. Apple's already said that they expect there to be a constrained supply of iPhones. I imagine that the new release of iPhones will be impacted by this. It will be interesting to see come September how that's impacted. It'll be interesting to see if Apple cancels its worldwide developer conference or does it virtually, because that's coming up this summer. Apple did close all of their retail stores in China last month. They have restricted all employee travel to China and just announced in the last day here, Apple also encouraged all employees, if they could, to work remotely March 9th to March 13th, so the week you're listening to this. And I imagine that will extend if the outbreak continues to extend. So employees that can work from home will be working from home. And I know that Apple's not the only company doing that. There are companies, especially in the Washington state area, if you can work from home just to reduce the density of people in each other's space and to try to reduce the spread. You know, a few years ago, the trend was to go to all these kind of open flex workspaces where instead of having everybody in their own office with a door, you have these open cubicles and open layouts and this campus-like atmosphere. So it's collaborative. And now I'm like, I bet you wish everybody had a door because this open space is definitely something that can cause more of an issue when everybody is just in shared space. So Diet Coke and Apple are definitely going to be negatively impacted. Amazon is both positively and negatively impacted in that people are already wanting to order more to stay at home, to not have to go to the store, to potentially be around people who are sick. I'll tell you what, if you've been out in public lately and coughed at all, like tickle in your throat or seasonal allergies, the death stares. And I found myself doing it. And then I felt bad because I was at Target with my kiddo and this guy was just coughing and coughing and coughing. And I was like, bro, seriously? Take that shit to the car. I don't want to hear you. But I also realize we're at the end of kind of respiratory illness season and that we're at the beginning of seasonal allergy season. So there might be a lot of reasons people are coughing. However, there's this heightened awareness and you're looking at people like, stop it, stop it. Stop coughing while I'm out in public with you. So Amazon is seeing a bump in the amount of home deliveries and is already having delivery times slip. So when you're used to seeing in areas like Los Angeles that you've got that overnight or two-day delivery, there are already delivery slippages just because there's not enough people, delivery people, to fill the need to deliver to the homes. So Amazon deliveries are going to get slower. There's already product that are well out of stock on Amazon and everywhere else, right? All of the cleaning supplies, all of the toilet paper. And it's like the Costco's out of toilet paper, the Target's out of toilet paper, CVS is out of toilet paper. And then if you order online, you can reserve toilet paper and go pick it up in a couple of days when they get more supply in. And the retailers seem to be now restricting per customer things that are getting kind of run on. But you don't want to be quarantined at home for a couple of weeks and run out of toilet paper. Like, I get it, but it's a bummer. So those types of businesses are being impacted. But let's talk about other things that are being impacted, because now you've got the positive and the negative. So on the positive side, anyone who makes hand sanitizer is seeing a bump. The demand for hand sanitizer between December and January grew by 1,400%. Consumer demand for hand sanitizer bumped 1,400% in a month. Can you imagine a 1,000% increase in anything in your business in a month? So I imagine all of the manufacturers of the hand sanitizer are trying to increase their production while also being mindful that production is slowed because you don't want people in the tight space doing the things. But on the downside of that, you know, people's perception is a funny thing, and perception that hand sanitizer is what we need because it does help if you can't wash your hands. That's fantastic. But the perception that this is being spread by people of Chinese descent is distressing to me. I'm going to link the article where some of these stats come from, but the New York Times reported in February that in New York City's three main Chinatowns, there was a 50 to 70% drop in business. And that is not just happening in Chinatowns across the US, but at Chinese restaurants as well. And there's been numerous reports of racist, attacks, like verbal attacks, but also attacks on business and slowdowns in going to business who are Chinese owned, which is crazy to me because the last I checked, a Chinese-owned business doesn't indicate that somebody had recently traveled to China or was like manufacturing coronavirus in their system based on their, you know, familial nationality. It's just wild to me that there's this component of being afraid of people of a different race because of their perceived country of origin, even if you have no idea whether that is multi-generational or if they've traveled or anything else. So the fact that Chinatowns are seeing a significant drop in business breaks my heart, right? And I find that heartbreaking. But we can all do our best, you know, order some Chinese food, have it delivered. Do your part. Speaking of delivery, Amazon, I already talked about Amazon seeing an increase in delivery demand and a delay based on the lack of drivers to supply that demand. But the food delivery companies, your Instacart, Postmates, DoorDash, are now implementing programs, different companies in different ways on their apps, where you can request contactless delivery. You can literally have Postmates like drop your food on your porch, back away slowly. You can watch them in your Ring cam to make sure they did it, didn't like cough on the bag, and then back out, so that you minimize human contact. And if the U.S. broadly goes into self-imposed quarantines or restriction to home and people aren't wanting to go out to restaurants, I think you're going to see a huge increase in demand for things like Instacart, Postmates, Amazon Prime Now, DoorDash. And those of us who live in areas where we have access to this have to remember what a privilege that is, because there are places in the country where you can't get DoorDash and Postmates and Instacart and Amazon Prime Now, where it gets delivered 30 seconds after you order it. There are a lot of places in the country where you can't get delivery that fast. And I hope, you know, if you live there, I imagine you're prepared. But this is also a luxury where if you don't prepare to be at home for multiple weeks at a time, then you can just DoorDash it, supposing restaurants don't close and that you're cool having your food made by other people if there's a major outbreak in your area. Finally, speaking of the disruption, things I am keeping an eye on with regard to coronavirus. The air industry, air travel, I think we're going to see kind of post 9/11 type drops in air travel because people perceive air travel as being something that can make you sick. And yes, this virus lives on surfaces. So if you don't wipe down surfaces on a plane and you touch them, that is possible. But the airlines, according to the International Air Transportation Association, are set to lose anywhere from $63 billion to $113 billion in revenue if this outbreak continues. That is going to be a disruption at least as significant as 9/11 was. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what happens as air travel bounces back. I know that for everyone who's had conferences canceled, speaking engagements canceled, whatever it is, that the airlines have been really, really accommodating with canceling flights, allowing no change fees to postpone flights. Delta is allowing flights to be credited and rebooked through 2021. So I think the airlines are doing the best that they can to respond to the fear, but they also stand to lose a ton of money. Speaking of losing a ton of money, On Friday, March 6th, the mayor of Austin, Steve Adler, announced that South by Southwest this year was being canceled, which is a direct economic loss estimated at over $1 billion. And South by Southwest is not the only major festival that's been canceled. Other festivals, meetings, conferences have been canceled. And I'm going to give you just a brief list of things that have been canceled as South by Southwest got added to that list. So the, you know, we've had tennis opens canceled. The Ice Hockey Women's World Championship was canceled. UNICEF had a giant event in March that was canceled. South by Southwest, we've talked about, was canceled. The Baltimore Women of the World Festival was canceled. The Senate Youth Program's been canceled. The, let's see, the Tomorrowland Winter 2020 event at a ski resort in the southeast of France was canceled. So if any of you were heading there, I'm sure you already are aware. The American Bar Association, which is the lawyer people, canceled their National Institute on White Collar Crime. They canceled a number of other events as well. The Ultra Music Fest in Miami was canceled. Adobe canceled their annual summit. Mobile World Congress, we know, was canceled. Green Day canceled a giant part of their tour that was going to be in Asia. The National Products Expo West, which was coming to Anaheim, canceled. That's an early March event. So we're starting to see quite a lot of cancellations. Facebook canceled their global marketing summit. Mariah Carey's canceled concerts. The London Book Fair was canceled. The Louvre in Paris is closed. So film premieres have been bumped back, which is very interesting. The Chinese Grand Prix, well, everything in China basically has been canceled. The Facebook Developer Conference that's supposed to be in May, which is a fairly international event, was canceled. Google I.O., also a May event, was canceled. So the tech events are being canceled. We're seeing smaller entrepreneurial events canceled. Here's the big question for me. What are they going to do about the 2020 Summer Games? Yeah, I'm worried. I love the Summer Olympics. So they're already starting to postpone and cancel some of the competitions that run up to qualifying for the Olympics. They are apparently, according to the New York Times, the World Health Organization has begun discussing screening measures for fans and is considering a fan-less Olympics. Just athletes, officials, and news broadcasters. No crowds, no people. And I imagine for Tokyo, that would be a devastating economic blow because the cities that host the Olympics put so much into the infrastructure to get ready for the Olympics to come to them. And then to have, you know, none of the people come would be unprecedented and would be significantly damaging. But right now, Japan's a level 2, like travel risk country. So it's kind of a no-go zone for anyone coming from a either more or less infected country. If that doesn't shift, they're going to have to make some decisions or you're going to see countries pulling out. But the possibility of saying we're not letting people travel into Tokyo for these games, it will be, as I said, unprecedented. But I'm very interested to see how this shakes out for the Olympic Games. Can you just say, like, hey, if you're from, you know, China, Iran, Italy, y'all can't come because this outbreak's still active? Or do you just not host the Olympics for a summer? I don't know. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with the Summer Games. I'm going to be keeping tabs on it. If you want to talk more about this, these topics, your thoughts on the Olympics, how this is impacting your business, because I know a lot of you have businesses and this is impacting you, or how it's impacting your consumer habits, like, are you avoiding Costco like the plague like me? That's the kind of stuff we talk about. Guess where? Yep, in the Facebook group. So come join us. I can't wait to talk to you about something different next week. But if this continues to change and we see significant impacts in business, I'm going to talk about it. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. I know what it's like to find a podcast you connect with, and then you want to talk about it, and you want to talk about the things you've heard, and you want to chat with other people and hear their opinion. And sometimes that's not the people that are around you.
I mean, you can always tell them to listen. But I've created a community for us to keep those conversations going, for me to answer your questions, and to share some behind the scenes and exclusive content, and maybe some deeper takes on the stories as we talk about them. So if you want to join that conversation with the Get Legit community, come on over to www.getlegitlive. I'd love to see you there. So come on by, say hello, and join the conversation.